Hello, everyone. This is Matthew Fraley with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the weekend general market newsletter for Sunday, July 16th. Hope everyone has had a nice weekend. Hopefully it's not too hot where you are. It was actually a nice day where I'm at yesterday, but it's going back to 100 degrees for the next few days. It's going to be another hot week. Anyway, this is the commodity newsletter. I have one more newsletter to do after this, the general market newsletter, and I did a newsletter on trade ideas. So let's get started and get this puppy done so you can get to the rest of your Sunday and enjoy it. So as you can see, the newsletter is divided into four major sections. First part, we're going to discuss the U.S. dollar. We'll look at TLT 20-year bonds. We're also going to look at HYG high-yield corporate or junk bonds, and we're going to look at the 10-year treasury yield. Number two, we'll jump into the commodities. We'll look at the energy sector first, crude oil, natural gas, XLE, OH, energy ETFs, and the BPNR. As far as trade ideas in the energy sector, I have some in the trade ideas newsletter, so I'm not going to bother putting them in here and duplicating it. Number three, we'll look at other commodities like copper, agriculture, coffee, sugar, and finally we'll follow up with precious metals and GDX. Okay, let's get started. Item number two below shows you the index sector table and what transpired last week in the market. As you know, the general market had a nice rally last week with the indexes gaining anywhere from 1.5% to 2.5% to 3%. Big pop. Again, I'll be discussing that in the general market newsletter. So this is on commodities. Let's move down to currencies. The big item here is the U.S. dollar. Had a big sell-off last week, down 0.9%. That, of course, had a positive effect, as you'd expect, on most commodities. Crude oil up 5.2%, gasoline up 2.3%, natural gas up 4%, copper up 1.6%. Now, the ags took it on the chin, though. DBA was just slightly down, while corn and wheat were down over 4%. But those commodities had just humongous moves the previous couple weeks, so not, you know, they went up too far too fast, not surprised to see them come back to earth. Coffee up 4.25%. I think it put in a decent bottom a couple weeks ago. Sugar up 1%. And the precious metals, gold up 1.3%, silver up 2.4%, GDX up 2.8%. Next. Item number three below shows you the economic news calendar for this week. Not a lot in the docket for this week, as you can see. But again, if you look below, stock earnings calendar, there's a link to that. We are starting earnings season. So earnings are now going to start taking center stage for a lot of individual companies and, of course, the market. Okay. All right. Let's get started with the charts. So let's begin with the U.S. dollar, which is the first chart. This is a weekly chart of the dollar. As you can see, the dollar continues on this very strong downtrend. It topped out in January of this year, sold off, broke an uptrend line in April, and continues selling off since then. So far, the pullback off the highs is $8.95, almost $9, which is slightly larger than the last pullback. Now, I don't call that a symmetry break yet, even though it's a slightly larger move. I like to see a bigger move for a symmetry break, like a 5 or 10% break. But pretty good sell-off in the dollar this year. Next, chart number five, here's the monthly view of the dollar. Again, it continues lower. We pointed out this monthly MACD divergence at the end of last year and in January, and that has played out pretty nice this year. Again, you can see the symmetry move. So far, the dollar's pulled back almost $9 off the highs. There is a big support level approaching. Should the dollar continue lower, that horizontal shaded area, that held a support last year. We'll see if the dollar gets down that low or not, but nice sell-off so far in the dollar. Next, chart number six, here's the daily view. Again, continues in this very strong downtrend channel. Next, moving to bonds, chart number seven, here's a TLT 20-year bond. This had a weak bounce so far off the lower uptrend channel that we showed early last week. Again, so far just a weak bounce. We'll see if it can do any more than that or not. Next, Chart number eight, here's a 60-minute view. On the 60-minute view, you have kind of a symmetry example. You had the sell-off, the largest bounce was 82 cents. You had a $1.45 bounce last week. That sets the stage for a higher low to form, which did, and it got a bounce. But so far, honestly, just a choppy pattern here. And the bottom didn't really have a good MACD divergence like I like to see. So we'll see what this does this week. Next, chart number nine, here's the weekly view for the week. TLT was up 0.5%. Had a nice sell-off, though, from that 50% fib a couple weeks ago. Next, chart number 10, HYG, high-yield corporate bonds or junk bonds. This pulled back in June, and we were wondering if it was going to start a downtrend, but it didn't. Didn't break any symmetry. Held on and basically formed a kind of a triangle pattern and has broken out to new highs. The fact that HYG wasn't breaking down was bullish for the market. The market tends to be correlated to HYG and junk bonds because that means easy money, risk trade is on, and as we know, the market is driven by the easy money central banks. So as long as this continues higher, the market will probably continue higher as well. Next, moving to 10-year treasury yield or 10-year rates, chart 11, here's the weekly view. 10-year treasury yield broke out of a falling wedge a couple weeks ago. A little pullback this week so far, but otherwise, the pattern still looks bullish to me, just a little retracement. Next, chart 12, here's the daily view. Again, you can see it broke out of that falling wedge. Nice rally up. Pull back so far, but, you know, again, still has a little bullish look to it here as long as it doesn't pull back too much. You can see it's still holding the moving averages here all pinched together, especially the 200-day moving average. Next, chart 13, here's the big picture monthly view of the 10-year treasury yield. So interest rates have been downtrending since 1981, as you know. They bottomed in 2012. And they went sideways, came down and retested that low in 2016, sort of like a double bottom. I do think that's the bottom in rates. I've been saying that for a long time now. Again, it's not really going to be confirmed, in my opinion, until this goes over that downtrend line from 1987. If the TNX can clear that downtrend line, then I think it's pretty much confirmed. But I do believe the bottom is in. We'll see if this long-term downtrend line can be broken eventually. All right, guys, let's move to commodities. We're going to start with energy and crude oil. So chart 14, the weekly view of crude oil. Crude oil up 5.2% for the week. Nice move. Longer term, you can see it's in this downtrend channel. The pullback off the highs of $13 is possible symmetry break, so we'll see if this forms a lower high sometime in this next rally, but a nice move last week. It helps that the U.S. dollar continues selling off, obviously. Next, chart 15, here's a daily view of crude oil. Again, a lot of chop. I mean, it's been in a downtrend since February, but you can see big sell-offs, big rallies, big sell-offs, but obviously a series of lower lows and lower highs. It did put in a higher low early last week, so now we'll see if it can take out that last high. Next, chart 16, natural gas daily chart. Not much of a look to me. It looks like it's forming some kind of diamond pattern. These are rare patterns; they're not easy to spot. This is more of a bullish diamond pattern, so we'll see if this can resolve to the upside or not. Next. Chart 17, XLE Energy. As you know, energy stocks have been downtrending since December. But XLE here, you can see overall it's still in its major downtrend, but it has had a rally off the lows. In the short term, we're monitoring this channel. That's your initial symmetry. Your larger symmetry is the $3.60 bounce in March. I did have some energy stocks, trade ideas, but that's in the trade idea newsletter. I'm not going to add into this newsletter as that would just be duplication. overall, guys, energy stocks, as Steve and I have been saying, look, we said it a week ago, look like bounce trades for a trade initially. The big swing trades in these won't come until they break symmetry, which requires a larger move to the upside. So you swing traders out there, you would look for a symmetry break, then you would look to buy the next pullback. For now, they're just possible bounce trades. And again, until they break their symmetry downtrend. Next, chart 18, OIH, oil services, same deal, downtrend since December. You can see slightly clearing the downtrend line here. It hasn't broken that shorter term $1.90 symmetry yet. And of course, the next resistance is the 50-day moving average. The larger symmetry is the $2.40 bounce into April. But it did have a divergent low. It did look like the energy stocks could bounce, and they have so far. But initially, this is just a trade if you're in these. Okay, again, the larger swing trade will be on a symmetry break, then buying the next pullback, higher low. Next, chart 19, BPNR, bullish percent energy index. This is the Renko version. This was been on a buy signal for a little while. Some of you follow that, so just following up on that. Next, chart 20, copper, up 1.66% last week. This broke its channel weekly flag pattern a few weeks back, so overall, no technical change. Next, chart 21, here's the daily view. Had a nice triangle pattern. It broke out of this a few weeks back. Rallied up, pulled back, retested the broken trend line of the triangle, which happens a lot of time in technical analysis. That was a low-risk re-entry, if you missed it, and it's pushed up a little bit. Next, chart 22, JJC, that's the tradable ETF for copper. So how could you have played the retracement into support? You could have bought the ETF. Again, I doubt anyone's trading copper futures here. I certainly don't. So that's a way to play it. The ETF tracks copper fairly well, in my opinion. Next, moving on to agriculture, chart 23, DBA, the agriculture ETF. This had a nice rally the last couple weeks into this channel resistance. Now it's just consolidating a little bit. Obviously, it's been in a downtrend for many years here, as you can see, especially since early 2014. Next, chart 24, here's the daily view. A lot of these agriculture areas had a big move in late June into July, but right now they're just consolidating the gains. You can see on the bullish side, this is forming some kind of flag pattern. And you can see that on the 60-minute chart, which is the next chart, chart 25, you can see the pennant pattern forming nicely on the 60-minute chart. DBA is a slow mover, so I generally don't trade it, honestly. Next, chart 26, wheat. Again, a lot of these ags had big moves in June, late June and early July, but the moves were too fast, too far. You can see huge move up in wheat, and so far a pretty nice pullback. Now, it may find support here at the 20-day moving average. Next, chart 27, corn, same deal. Had a big pop late June and early July, and then a big sell-off. Next, chart 28, Joe, the coffee ETF, weekly view up 4.25%. Nice view. I talked about this 2 weeks ago. It had a doji candlestick there. I said that looks like a low-risk long entry. And if you look at the top, the 14 RSI, you see my arrow? The 14 RSI does not get oversold very easily on this weekly ETF. So that was a pretty low-risk area, entry area. Next, chart 29, here's the daily view. Took out another resistance area here. Again, price was very oversold back there in late June. You can see my comments there. And, of course, on the weekly chart, the RSI was oversold. To me, Joe was a pretty good swing trade entry a couple weeks ago, and you could just hold it if you did enter it. Next, chart 30, sugar, weekly view up 1%. The head and shoulder pattern I showed early this year obviously played out. Got quite oversold here recently, so having a little bounce so far. However, the daily chart's more interesting, so let's take a look at that, which is chart 31. The daily chart had a nice little wedge in late June, again, notice how a lot of these ag commodities bounced. That played out. Now it has a potential inverse head and shoulder here. Next, Sharper 32. Here's a way to play it. The tradable ETF, SGG. Next, Sharper 33. Here's the 60-minute view of SGG. You can see it had a little nice tight falling wedge pattern on the 60-minute chart. All right, finally moving to precious metals. Sharper 34, weekly view of gold, up 1.5% for the week. Nice little bounce. Overall, no change in the pattern here. Hasn't started in a nice big uptrend yet or anything. Just got quite oversold here. The commercial net short got really low. I'll talk about that below when we get to that. But again, otherwise up 1.5% for the week. Next, Sharper 35, here's a monthly view. We showed this last year, this possible inverse head and shoulder pattern. Again, this may be the pattern. It may not be. It's a monthly chart, so it takes a long time to develop out. Gold, seasonality-wise, you tend to chop around in the summertime. It tends to bottom in July, so maybe we'll see that this year. Next, Sharper 36, there's another monthly view I showed a couple weeks ago, this possible little rounded bottom type thing. You can see, of course, the start of the secular bull market in gold in 2001, and you can see how it ended there in 2011. Next, Sharper 37, here's a daily view of gold. It rallied a little bit last week, finally popped a little bit on Friday. It did close off the highs, though. Ran into resistance right at the 200-day moving average. So it does have a lot of resistance here, guys. But one thing I'm monitoring is the GDX-GLD ratio above. You got a nice downtrend line there. If it can break that, that would be a positive. Next, Sharper 38. Here's the commercial net short for gold. Now, to me, this chart's interesting. This is something I've followed since 2004, I think. So I've followed this a long time. Whenever the commercial net short falls to low levels below 100,000, you tend to look for bottoms. Whenever it gets high, say in the upper 200s, you look for tops. Okay, there's no specific number, but that's generally how it is. You know, when it's between 100 and 200, it's in no man's land, and that's where it's been most of the year. But as of last week, it fell to 75,000. Obviously, it's been lower. You can see it was down to 5,000 and 15,000 in 2015. But the 75K is pretty low. So that's an area that you can start to look for some bottoming action for gold. Okay. Again, it can go lower. The only concern I have is that a lot of the individual stocks don't look great yet. So, but again, something to keep an eye on. Now, regarding the commercial net short, I put an explanation on a trading community blog about what it actually is. It's not that the commercials traders are bearish or anything. It's about hedging. And so I went ahead and put the text in the newsletter about a detailed explanation about this. So let's take a look at that, which is item number 39 below. You can pause the audio here. I'm not going to read it all, but this discusses what the commercial net short actually is. Again, it's about a short hedge for the producers and the miners. So I give a very detailed example here about what it actually is. Again, the commercial traders aren't necessarily bearish and out there shorting. They're actually trying to protect and lock in current prices for the gold that they have in the ground to mine and sell in the open market. So make sure to read this, guys, because it'll be very clear and you'll understand it fully. All right, moving on. Sharper 40, silver. This had a big drubbing the last couple weeks. Finally bounced back a little bit last week, up 3.3%. Again, not much of a pattern here, honestly, guys. And it doesn't look great to me, so that's another concern I have for gold. The broken trend line here is a resistance, possibly on a bounce. Next, Sharper 41, monthly view of silver. Just gives you the bigger picture view. Long-term resistance is that downtrend line from the 21-23 high. You can see where silver topped out in that parabolic blow off top in 2011. And it's been downtrend ever since. Next, Sharper 42, here's the daily view. Again, guys, not a lot you can say about the pattern here. Just a lot of chop and a lot of nothing, honestly. Again, not like you had back there in December when you had a textbook falling wedge five-wave pattern. That was a nice, beautiful pattern. Then you had a bull flag. You had a retracement into the 61 fib. What do you have here? Nothing, really. Next, Sharper 43. Moving on to gold stocks, GDX, weekly view up 2.8%. So it is a positive the gold stocks are leading here, at least in the short term. But we want to see that ratio break. You can see at the top, I drew a trend line there. You want to see that ratio break to the upside. So far, not yet. GDX on a weekly here is forming some kind of triangle pennant pattern. Next, Sharper 44, here's the daily view. Again, first resistance, it's got to break out of this downtrend channel. It's got to give above these trend lines. Again, monitor that GDX-GLD ratio. So while the commercial net short has fallen to nice low levels on gold, again, we still have a lot of work to do in these stocks and silver and everything else. Next, Sharper 45, here's the two-hour view. GDX did bounce last week, but so far, as you can see on this, it just basically met symmetry, rallied right into the channel. So this needs to break out if gold and gold stocks are going to start going. Next, Sharper 46, here's the 60-minute view. This is a nice example of symmetry, guys, the fractal nature of symmetry. So first off, you see you have your larger symmetry move there in the dotted cyan line. Well, then you begin a down trend on June 25th, and the bounces there were about 40 cents. So that was a short-term symmetry in dark blue. You then broke that short-term symmetry on July 10th with a 65-cent bounce. That told you to look for a higher low bounce, which we got. See that? For a trade, it then rallied up. And where did it stop? At the larger symmetry, exactly. So again, guys, when you're looking at symmetry, remember it's fractal. So that time frame, there's larger symmetries and larger time frames. Okay. But beautiful example of symmetry there. Stopped right at the symmetry target. Oh, the final chart. Oh, not the final chart, but Sharper 47, GDX GLD ratio. Here's a daily chart. Again, for gold stocks, I'm monitoring this ratio. You can see you got nice contracting trend lines. A break to the downside would be bearish. Okay. A break to the upside would be bullish. We'll see which way this goes. And finally, Sharper 48, RGLD, one of the trade idea gold stocks Steve had a week ago. One of the strongest stocks in the sector. Had a nice rally last week out of this tight wedge pattern. I did add a couple gold stocks in the trade ideas newsletter, which I'm not showing here. Again, my concern here is a lot of the individual stocks just don't have great looking patterns. They're just, a lot of them are just blah. So that's my concern that gold may not be bottomed yet, but we'll see. All right, guys, I do have one more newsletter to do on the general market. All right, have a good rest of your day. Take care.